welcome to those of you traveling to New Orleans for APHA. My name is Adrienne Mundorf, and I'm going to be talking about the changes in food access disparities in New Orleans since Hurricane Katrina. And before I go on, I want to acknowledge Amelia Willett-Smith, a doctoral student at Tulane, and Diego Rose, who is the principal investigator on this study. And the study was housed out of the Prevention Research Center at Tulane University. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And at the Tulane Prevention Research Center, our focus is looking at the built environment and how that environment factors into dietary and physical activity behaviors. And so with that research, we have found that food access plays a role in healthy dietary behaviors. And we've seen across the country and in New Orleans that proximity, residential proximity to supermarkets is associated with higher fruit and vegetable consumption. And on the other side of that, lack of access to supermarkets or food deserts is associated with lower fruit and vegetable consumption. And we've also seen research that's shown racial disparities in food access exist. So oftentimes those food deserts might be situated in areas where predominantly African American or predominantly Hispanic residents, neighborhoods exist. And we've seen that in many urban areas in the U.S., including New Orleans. A gap in that research, though, is there's little known about the changes in food environment over time. Or after a disaster, especially related to disparities that may exist in the food environment. So our focus is to examine changes in food access in New Orleans since Hurricane Katrina, both citywide and by racial disparities. For our study, we looked at four time points, 2004 to 2005, 2007, 2009, and 2013. And at each of those time points, we conducted a citywide census of the food retail store locations. And that consisted of doing on-the-ground data collection, where we would identify stores that had closed from the previous years and also identify new stores that had opened within that year. And from that, we were able to ascertain the number of supermarkets per neighborhood and use that as the measure of food access. For this study and previous studies that have been done on this type of work, we defined neighborhoods as an area within a 2-kilometer buffer along the street network from the Census Tract Center. And we did that in order to expand out of the artificial boundary of a census tract and get a more realistic idea of what a resident's food environment might be. The demographic data we used was from the 2000 U.S. Census prior to Katrina, and we used the Environmental Systems Research Institute population estimates after Katrina. To define the racial composition of the neighborhoods, we used predominantly African American as neighborhoods that had 80% or higher residents who described themselves as African American, and other neighborhoods in New Orleans were described as racially mixed. We conducted network analysis to identify the number of supermarkets in each neighborhood, and we conducted regression analysis in order to identify the difference in likelihood of finding supermarkets in neighborhoods by race and across the years of interest. And for all of the models that I'll show you today, we controlled for population density. And for those of you who lived in New Orleans at the time of Hurricane Katrina, this slide might not be too much of a surprise for you. But from our results, we saw that the demographics shifted greatly pre and post-Katrina. So the mean population size dropped dramatically and steadily increased after. I'm showing 2004, 2005, and 2007 just to give you an example, though we did look at data afterwards. And then the mean population density flipped. So prior to Katrina, we saw that African American neighborhoods had statistically higher population density, and that flipped to the racially mixed neighborhoods after Katrina. And that's still the case as of the data in 2013. So not only did the population shift dramatically, the supermarkets across the city also changed dramatically. So we went from 31 stores prior to Katrina and dropped by more than half in 2007. And we've started to see those supermarkets come back. And in 2013, we were at 27 supermarkets across the city. Then when we look at some other measures of food access characteristics, again, looking at that pre and post Katrina point and looking at African American and racially mixed neighborhoods, we can see that there's also drastic differences pre and post Katrina. The mean number of supermarkets per neighborhood dropped, and although the difference between African American and racially mixed neighborhoods remains significantly different at each of those time points. And then the ratio of supermarkets to residents also dropped dramatically and remained significantly different between the two types of neighborhoods. When looking at the frequency distribution, so this is taking the different points of access, so no supermarkets in a neighborhood, one supermarket or more than one, we also see that in later years after Katrina, and in fact this remains significant throughout, it shifted to fewer supermarkets distributed. And when we look at that across the city on a map, it looks something like this. So in 2004, 2005, we saw the supermarkets spread out throughout the city. In 07, that number of supermarkets dropped significantly and down to 15. And supermarkets started to, were seen in pockets of the city. So for those of you familiar with New Orleans, the area where you see six supermarkets in the bottom left is Uptown. And that's an area that wasn't hit hard by the storm and has a higher proportion of racially mixed neighborhoods. And then in 2013, we start to see those stores come back across the city. So when we ran a regression model, this is the first model where we just looked at the time periods and the association with food access. And we used pre-Katrina as the reference group. We see that right after Katrina, the post-1 Katrina, I'll continue to refer to it as post-Katrina 1, we see that there's a large change in access by time period. So almost 43%, there's a difference of residents in 2007 experienced a 43% less likelihood of exposure to an additional supermarket than those in prior to Katrina. And in 2009, access improved, and in fact, the difference was no longer significant from prior to Katrina. And in 2013, access actually improved and exceeded the rates prior to Katrina. Looking at the second model of the regression, we see we've added in, we've kept the time period in there and added neighborhood composition and also the interaction between the two. And we see that the trend of access also dropped right after Katrina, post-Katrina 1, significantly. And in 2009 started to come back, and in 2013, again, was above the access prior to Katrina. And when looking at racially mixed versus African American neighborhoods, we see that African American neighborhoods, residents of African American neighborhoods, had a 33% less likely to have access to a supermarket. And then when we look at the interactions, we see that same trend. And we also wanted to investigate what these disparities looked like at each time point. So we created a summary model to look at that. And we see that pre-Katrina, there were disparities within that year. So about 33% less likelihood for African American residents to have access to an additional supermarket than those in a mixed neighborhood within that year. And then again, we see this dramatic drop in post-Katrina 1 year to a 64% less likelihood of accessing a supermarket as compared to the mixed neighborhoods in that year. And then the trend in post-Katrina 2, the disparities still exist, and still significantly so, but in 2013, we see that while there still are disparities, it's no longer significant. And this is another way to look at that. We see that dramatic drop, and then in 2013, we're seeing that the access is the difference in access between the two types of neighborhoods is reaching a point where it's no longer significant. So through this research, we've seen food access across New Orleans drop in 2007, but return to the pre-Katrina levels in 2013. And we've also seen that the access disparities between African American and racially mixed neighborhoods existed prior to Katrina, worsened greatly afterwards, and have since improved. This study was focused on geographic access to supermarkets. Some of our other research at the Prevention Research Center looks at quality and availability of store contents. We didn't do that in this study, but supermarkets tend to have a higher ratio of healthy foods as compared to other stores, and so we have a good idea that the availability of store contents in supermarkets is going to have those healthy products that we want to look at. And again, we didn't assess other store types such as corner stores, smaller stores or convenience stores, which might have had those healthy foods available, but again, it's typical to use supermarkets as a proxy for food access. And we also did not study economic access, which might have had an influence on purchasing power of the residents in the different neighborhoods. But through this study, we were able to highlight that the recovery of the food environment after a disaster is possible. And this is nearly a decade after the disaster, and we've seen a boom in citywide access. And in fact, the difference in the disparities in food access have diminished to the point where they're better than prior to Katrina. These findings have helped build the evidence base to support further food retail expansion, especially in limited food access areas. And at the last presentation today, Julia will talk a little bit about the New Orleans Fresh Food Retailer Initiative, which has been able to bring some stores, some supermarkets into areas that have been underserved. I'd like to acknowledge our funders, the CDC, including the NOPRIN, and also the USDA. And I'd also like to acknowledge the graduate assistants who worked on this project, and I see quite a few of you in the audience today, so thank you for being here. And if you'd like to find out more about this study or other studies, our website is here, and there's lots of information on it. Thank you. The question was, how would we factor in sort of newer services such as Good Eggs, which is a food delivery service, into this type of research? And I think, in this situation, we just looked at supermarkets because, in part, because they generally have the food available that is healthy, and Good Eggs didn't exist prior to, I think, 2013. Is that right? Something around there. But I think that it would be really interesting to look at, and I think that, they have a certain geographic region that might be interesting to look at and factor in that. Yeah, I think farmers markets also are an area that we could look at too.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to speak up. So in terms of when you were looking at the grocery stores, both the ones that closed, that was as well as some of the new ones that opened, mostly from the three, were you also looking at ownership? That is, you know, which ones were locally owned, which ones were owned by national chains? Were the national chains more likely to open new stores because they have financial resources to do so?
So for this study, we didn't go to that level, but there is another project at the PRC that another author is looking at that. Thank you. The poverty levels of the different census tracts?
No, the disparities of supermarkets by poverty.
So we didn't look at poverty in this case. We kept it to racial disparities, and I don't know if do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. It's a little bit harder to get poverty levels. Anything between the census is estimates from ESRI. And I think they're probably a little bit better at getting that in the population counts than the poverty itself. But I don't know, we haven't looked at that question.
Something to think about, though.